Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Today we're going to walk a journey together. We're going to walk through what I've identified or teased out of the Holy Face Devotion, five different meanings that are connected to your life. Even if you never enter this reality of the Holy Face Devotion, you will enter into all five of these different dimensions of being a disciple. And so I love how this has focused me on these five dimensions. I think that are also super relevant for our life of faith. How? I'll tell you in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Hey, welcome back to the program. We're going to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, I love you. I thank you that you are so faithful, such a faithful God. You take care of us, you bless us, you watch over us. Lord, we are literally nothing without you. And you are so faithful, perfectly faithful to us. When we turn from you, when we ignore you, when we avoid you, when we attempt to shut you out, you are faithful to us. Thank you, God, for your generosity. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I pray for those who struggle to experience and to know your tender care. I pray for those who are struggling right now and who are in the midst of carrying heavy crosses. Lord, just please bless them. I pray that this program would be a blessing to them. Lord, just anoint me for the task of being a conduit of your voice, of your will for our lives, for this moment in history. Just thank you, Lord. I surrender myself to you. I just ask that you cleanse me as a vessel. Cleanse my heart, my mind, my life. Lord, I want to know you and love you and serve you better. Please, Lord, help me never to settle for less than your very best for my life. Thank you, Lord. I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So, you guys are with me again on a walk. You might hear little background noises. It's a little bit windy on the walk today. I call that the Spirit of God. So we get some Spirit of God background noise as we're walking. It's a beautiful night. It's a little bit cloudy, some stars. I'm recording this the night before, so this is a Faith and Family program. And it's interesting because our family has shifted quite a bit, and even just the last week. Since the last week, four of our kids have headed back to school. And then our two oldest kids are going to be leaving the home in the next 2 weeks as well. And we're going to be back down to three kids at home. So we've talked already about that. I'm going to focus on the Holy Face Devotion. Yesterday, if you heard the program, I talked about five different meanings of the Holy Face Devotion that have just sort of come out of my reading of the life of Leo DuPont and of Sister Mary of St. Peter. And again, my point in doing this is, yes, I want you to become more familiar with the devotion that I'm just discovering. I really knew almost nothing about it in the last couple of months since my interview with Father Carney and reading his book on the Secret of the Holy Face. Things have opened up. And the funny thing is that I've heard now a number of people say the kind of thing that I'm saying on the radio. Like, I discovered this devotion, I didn't realize it, and it's changing my life. And it sounds dramatic. It sounds overstated. It sounds like, oh, this is just hyperbole or devotionalism. And all I can say is, that ain't me. That's not my style. And yet it's true. So, all right, why? And even if you're not attentive to or drawn to this idea of the Holy Face devotion, these five themes in your spiritual life, yeah, these are things that you ought to attend to. All right, let's start with the first one. The first one is the way that this Holy Face devotion is, in fact, about the foundation of discipleship, which means following Jesus. And it means falling in love with Jesus and loving Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the Holy Face devotion does that. The Holy Face devotion is just tied into this theme in the Old Testament that I never really paid much attention to. The theme of seek His face. Seek the face of God. And that theme is repeated in the early books of the New Testament, in the Psalms in particular. And it's rooted in this idea of when you are struggling, when you are lost, when things are going wrong, how do you get on the path? How do you realize that there is a path in your life? Seek His face. If you seek the face of God, you're now attempting to involve God in what it is you're doing in the journey that you're on, in the path that you're on. Seek His face. And the Holy Face devotion is involving putting the face of God, the face of God made man, Jesus, right in front of you. And what's fascinating is the theme of seeking His face is something that is still able to be done. It's like, oh, well, I'll get an image of the Holy Face of Jesus. Well, now I found His face. And so now I'm all done. Mission accomplished. Let's go on to the next thing. Now, that's not how the spiritual life works. Our spiritual tradition is once you've found Him, you continue to seek for Him. Once you've found Him, you continue to seek for Him. But it's a different kind of seeking. You're not seeking the Lord because He hasn't been found. You're exploring. You're going deeper into. You're plumbing the depths of. You're coming into greater awareness of. Right? And that's true of any profound relationship that you have with people that are in your life. I've been married to Carrie for 30 years. Have I reached the end of my journey of discovering who she is and what she's about and what is hidden in her heart and aspects of her personality? No. No, and in fact, it's only by loving her that this relationship has this possibility. This relationship has this dimension of depth and mystery to it that involves seeking, pursuing, plunging deeper into, exploring more fully, but always marked by a sense of love and reverence, right? And so the same is true in our relationship with the Lord. And it's not just seek God's face, but there's the presentation of the revelation of God in Jesus, through Jesus, the one who is Jesus. It's personal. It's personal. And that's something, brothers and sisters, that we Catholics, for far too long, we settle for less than an intimate, personal, profound, life-giving relationship with Jesus. You know what I'm going to say next if you listen to Sound Insight. I mean each of those terms. It's intimate. There's being drawn into nearness. The Lord wants to draw you into nearness, and He wants to reveal with tenderness and gentleness the intimate secrets of His heart for you, His love for you, who He is, and really reveal to you who you are. So there's an intimacy that God wants to have with you. But it's also personal, right? That personal dimension is you are known and you can know. I know God. I know God as Father, as Abba, Father. You can know the daddy quality of God, the eternal, infinite God who is Father, transcendent creator of all things, has revealed Himself in Jesus, and Jesus invites us into His relationship with the first person of the Trinity as Abba, Father. That's who God is. That's who the Father is. And our faith is about coming into contact, communion, and communication with the God who is Abba, Father. And that's because of Jesus. And it's also coming to know that Jesus Christ, hear this, this is not me making stuff up, this is the teaching of the church, that Jesus Christ, who died 2,000 years ago, He knew you. He knew you, one of the 8 billion of you that are walking around on this earth now. He knew you. He saw you. He had you in mind as He underwent all the things that were part of His life. His preaching. He preached to thee. Sermon on the Mount, He had you in mind. He performed the miracles to feed the 5,000. He had you in mind. And yes, as He underwent His passion, death on the cross, His crowning with thorns, His scourging at the pillar, His being in agony, He knew you. And it's not just He would have done that if there was only one of you. No, it's more profound and personal than that. He knew you. How? He's not only man, He's God. That's the face that you encounter on the veil of Veronica. That face personalizes your faith. And when your faith is personal, then it becomes more meaningful. When it's personal, it has a greater impact, right? I've said this before, when you think about sin and when you commit a sin, when it's personal, when you speak harsh words against someone that you love so dearly and you're mean and you see them deflated, you see the negative impacts of it, doesn't that impact you? Because it's personal. You see it. And when you do an act of generous self-sacrificial love or an act of generous giving of yourself and giving a gift or giving words of affirmation or attention, and you look them in the eyes, it's personal. We were affirming, two daughters had birthdays. Liliana, our two youngest, Liliana turned 12, Luciana turned 14, and we affirm on their birthdays. We did this together because of the schedules were a little bit crazy. So we were all together and we went around the circle and everyone affirmed both of them. And when, you know, it comes to me, it was like, look me in the eyes. I want you to look me in the eyes because I want you to hear these words of affirmation. I want you to know the gift that I see you to be, the gift that you are to me and in this world, and the gifts that I see you having that God has given to you. And I want to acknowledge the ways that those gifts are put forth into the world and express gratitude to God and to you for using those gifts, right? That's the categories that we use and we've taught our kids in affirming. Affirm the gift that you are, the way that you're a gift to me, a gift to the family, then the gifts that you have and how they've been beautifully doing good in the world or bringing joy and life in the world, and just expressing love and gratitude for having you in my life. Right? And that's hard for some people to hear, just from siblings or from parents. It's uncomfortable. It's like Liliana didn't want to look me in the eyes. I said, Lily, look me in the eyes. I'm your father. I love you. And I want you to know that it's personal. That's what the Lord Jesus wants for you. And that's what the Holy Face Devotion can do. It can help foster a deeper personalization of your faith. It's intimate, it's personal, it's profound, and it's life-giving. There's depth. You know, look me in the eyes, right? The eyes are the depth, give it the windows of the soul, right? There's something deep going on. And you can go deeper into your relationship with the Lord and realize that there's so much more that this personal God has for you. He knows your circumstances. He knows what you're facing. And he has established these points of connection because he loves you. He loves you. And then it's also life-giving, right? A personalized faith that's intimate and profound, it's vital. It's vitalizing. It's refreshing. It's invigorating. I didn't say it's easy. We'll get to that. But it's invigorating. And I want you to know that. I want you to believe that. I want you to experience that. The Lord wants you to experience that. That's why he made you. He made you to experience this kind of personalized relationship with our loving God. And so that's the first meaning of this reality of the Holy Face Devotion, is that it will be such a blessing to you to help you live a more personalized faith. Okay. When we come back, I'm going to move on to the second dimension, which has to do with spiritual battle. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. I'm sharing today something I talked about yesterday, I promised to do, but never got to it. Doing it today. It's identifying five themes that kind of come to the surface when I have studied and dug into this devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. And again, of course, I want you to learn more about the devotion and learn more about Sister Mary of St. Peter and Leo DuPont. And if you're in the, you know, Spokane area, go and hear Father Carney. Really, God has put his hand on him to promote this devotion around the world, but especially in America. And he's going to be at St. Joan of Arc Parish on the 20th and the 21st of September, Friday and Saturday, two evening mission mass and then mission talk. And you'll have a chance to learn more about and even enroll in the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face. And he'll explain all about that. And then he's also speaking at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Lourdes on Sunday at 6 o'clock. And beautiful, beautiful opportunities. But what does it mean for you? Like, let's say, okay, I'm not going to be able to be at those talks. And I already have my devotions. So what can I take from it? Well, let's take a look at five themes. The first theme is it'll personalize your faith as you strive for holiness. And you realize that holiness is a journey. It's a journey. Well, the second is spiritual attack. I got to tell you, if you're trying to find a way to promote a devotion, you probably shouldn't lead with one of the themes that this devotion will bring into your life is increased and intensified spiritual attacks. Not the best marketing strategy. And yet, is it better to not have intensified spiritual attacks? Or is it in fact that you are just being deployed closer to the front line of the spiritual battle that's already taking place? And you are going to be a sharp weapon in the hand of God. And you'll actually realize with sharper precision and clarity that this life is about heaven. This life is, in fact, a journey to heaven. And the Lord is drawing us to himself. We are pilgrims here on earth. We're on a pilgrimage towards heaven. And on that way, just like Moses leading the Israelites through the desert, he wasn't like, who can we go battle now? No, the Amalekites came and waged war against Moses. Exodus 17. They're just trying to get through the desert. They're on their journey through the desert and they got attacked. Well, my brothers and sisters, do any of you doubt that we are living in the time of intense spiritual attacks, just against the church, against the truths of God, against the truths of our faith, but even in your own life. And the Holy Face Devotion talks about the way in which the Lord is raising up people to fight that battle by making acts of reparation against the sins and blasphemies committed against the Holy Face of Jesus, and in particular against the first three commandments. And what shows up again and again in the revelations to Sister Mary of St. Peter, the Lord speaking to this discalced Carmelite nun, is that, in fact, with those who enter into this devotion will come intensified spiritual attacks. The realm of the demonic, Satan and evil spirits hate this devotion because of how the Lord will use it to overcome and undermine the work of the demonic in this world. I want to be part of that. And in fact, what I have already experienced, and I'm a guy who already brings a sense of belief in and some degree of experience with this reality of spiritual warfare and discerning when something that's happening in your life is in fact a spiritual attack. It has intensified. It really has, because as I have made it more of a daily act to make acts of reparation and penance, and as I've explored, Lord, how are you bringing me into contact with the cross, with the passion, I've had a heightened awareness that, oh, Lord, you're doing all of this. And this isn't just for my sanctification. This is about me being more useful to you and more fruitfully used in this spiritual war that we're battling. And guess what? Thereby, you become a greater target. And it has been very much so. The blessings and the signs of God's divine intervention have been clear and very powerful, as well as, that is so weird that that's happening. That is so weird that that's happening. That is so weird that that's happening. Spiritual attacks. And so I want to start with the reality of the cross in your life. We shouldn't be surprised that our life will involve these moments and these situations where we are experiencing suffering. And the question becomes, when we do experience that suffering, do we ponder and do we recognize that the Lord is giving us, he's serving up to us these opportunities to have those crosses and sufferings be presented, be entered into as acts of penance and reparation, and acts by which I am being drawn into the Lord's passion. And I got to tell you, just literally a little while ago, I was listening to a talk on penance and the cross, and the priest, he didn't directly address it, but one of the things that he said, he alluded to, that I immediately grabbed onto was, wait a minute, when I think about offering it up, you know, the traditional phrase, you offer it up when you're experiencing some kind of physical suffering or difficulty, you offer it up because it's the Lord giving you a chance to share on the cross. Well, yes, but have you ever thought that the passion of the Lord is so much broader than the carrying of the cross or being crucified with Christ? It goes back to the Garden of Gethsemane. What happens in the garden, brothers and sisters? Jesus undergoes this depth, this being plunged into the depth of sin, so much so that he becomes identified with sin and experiences this, for us, really almost unimaginable, or inconceivable is probably a better word. Can't even really conceive with our minds, try to come to some kind of concept of the type of darkness and confusion, the type of powerlessness and desperation, the experience of being lost and feeling completely out of control that Jesus experienced. His anxiety was an anxiety that was a pressing down upon him. And I remember reading, I don't remember who it was, whose revelations it was, but some, I think it was a woman, I'm not sure it was a nun, who received these revelations that sort of tracked through Jesus' life. And I remember thinking, what was his passion like? So I went to the agony in the garden, and the way what she was allowed to see was that what made the agony in the garden so profoundly dark, confusing, chaotic, tragic, and terrifying was that there was a hornet's nest of demons that were harassing, buzzing around and attacking and pushing in on and like going after Jesus in the garden. It wasn't just that he was like fearfully anticipating the death that was to come. No, the act of his agony in the garden was terrifying darkness, chaos, confusion, demonic darkness, confusion that landed upon him and was experienced by him at a depth and a degree that we will never be able to appreciate. Well, the Lord gives you contact with that mystery. The Lord gives you just a sliver of communication of that mystery in your life, on your journey, when you feel out of control, when you feel desperate, when you feel at a loss, when you feel helpless. Those are moments that you can offer to the Lord as acts of reparation and penance. That's your sharing in the cross. That's the Lord bringing about your death to self. That's you undergoing this sacrifice, this becoming this burnt offering, this holocaust where you're being stripped down and cleansed and purified like fire. You're in the furnace of God's passion, in order to shine more brightly. And precisely doing that as an act of recognizing that there's a spiritual battle. You're involved in a spiritual battle. That's so powerful. So brothers and sisters, I know, like just for me today, I had one daughter fly back to Franciscan University a couple days ago. I've got three other kids, Mary Catherine, John Mark, John Luke. Please pray for them for safe, peaceful, uneventful travel. Because they took off and they felt this confidence to say, we're going to drive straight through, the three of us, from Spokane to Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, southeastern Ohio. Or South Central, no, Eastern Central Ohio. And it's like 30 hours, 32 hours. And they're pushing through. And so they started, and they're only about eight or 9 hours away from reaching their destination. So they've been taking turns sleeping, two are up at night. They're using Red Bull to stay awake. They hold each other accountable to make sure that no one's going to be at risk of being too tired and dangerous, etc., etc. So praying for the Lord's safety. Well, here's the thing. They're on that journey and they're out of my control. They're outside of my ability to take care of them and to protect them. I give them guidance, but all I can do now is pray. Do I still have anxiety? Absolutely. I'm anxious that they will stay awake, be alert, that they won't take any stupid risks, that they will drive carefully, and that the weather and the roads and the other people on the roads and the car will all be covered with the blood of Christ, protected by the mantle of our Blessed Mother's traveling mercies, the robe of Joseph over their car and their travels. I'm praying those prayers out of a sense of a desperate heart, an anxious heart. And, you know, it can sound overblown. It's like, Tom, they'll be fine. They're young adults. You know, that you've got to just surrender, let them go. They'll be okay, right? But then there are so many other bigger things that so many people are carrying that aren't just for 32 hours. It might be for 32 days, 32 weeks, 32 months, 32 years. This is what happened yesterday. Yesterday, when I was doing my real estate work, I called a real estate agent who was listing a house, and I was trying to get insight into the house. Like, hey, have you had a lot of people looking at it? How'd you get to that price point? What's going on? In order to serve a client of mine who was thinking about listing a similar house. And so let me do some intelligence gathering and find out what's happening. So we chat, we have that conversation, is very much just focused on real estate. We never met this guy before. And just before we were about to hang up, okay, yeah, thanks so much. And then he said, hey, really like your radio program. I'm like, what? And I'm like, hey, you didn't say anything to me through the whole conversation. Were you like testing me to see if I was going to approach you in conversation in a godly manner? You know, what was that? Why didn't you say something in the beginning? And just kind of teasing him. And I said, so would you, you know, he said, now that you know this, you know, do you want to like pray? You expect me to pray with you? And he said, well, yeah. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, please pray for me. I said, well, what can I pray for? And again, whenever people hear that, what are they thinking, right? Most of the time, they're just thinking, I'll say a prayer for you in general, right? I'll keep you in prayer. And he knows that when I'm saying, no, I'm going to pray for you, it means I'm going to pray out loud for you, for your intention, right now on the phone. And so he then started opening up to me about a cross, about a heavy burden. He has been living in his married life in the Garden of Gethsemane for 20 years. Okay, I want you to hear that out loud. I was so humbled, that this man has been living a Garden of Gethsemane life with his wife for 20 years. And it is hard. He said, it's so difficult. He didn't say it like the way I just said it. But as he talked about the cross, the burden, the struggle that he has had, and it has to do with, guess what? Him being Catholic. Him coming home to the Catholic faith. Him living his life faithfully as a Catholic with a wife who happens to be a devout Christian that is anti-Catholic. And the stress, the strain, the cross that has planted right in the middle of his married life has overflowing effects that are negative, that impact. And I'm thinking, you know, I've got crosses in my life. I've got slivers of the Garden of Gethsemane in my life with my kids and with my finances and with my career and my attempts to follow the Lord. And now with this whole Camino thing, man, I got it easy. I've got it so easy compared to what this guy is facing in his life. God bless him. So I listened to him share his story, and I started to share a little bit, and I stopped, and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to try to solve your problem. I don't have an answer, but I do know this. I do know the Lord loves you. I know he's not caught off guard. I know he sees you. And I'm going to pray that the Lord would bless you and bring breakthroughs that I don't know how to do and that you don't know how to do, and bring like recovery of life and restoration and all these good gifts that God has for us. And I pray that he has, you know, his shocking generosity ready to bring into your life. And I want to be an instrument. I want to be part of doing that. And so I prayed for him right there, right on the phone. Just poured my heart out in prayer for him, brother to brother in the Lord, fellow Catholic to fellow Catholic. And yet this man, his pilgrimage has led him into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he has not fallen asleep. He has been with the Lord in a place of desperation, crying out to the Lord, not knowing exactly how to move forward, but he has to move forward. And so that happened on yesterday. And it's spiritual attack associated with your attempts to follow the Lord. And so this Holy Face devotion, yeah, it brings that out into the open. So whether or not you come to discover and embrace the Holy Face devotion, I am going to say to you, you pursue the Lord in a way that's more intimate, personal, profound, and life-giving. You pursue him on this journey that you are, and you offer to him those places of suffering and pain and difficulty as acts of penance and reparation for your sins and the sins of your loved ones and the sins of the world. You start doing that. You start taking your anxieties, your fears, your depression, your feeling overwhelmed, and you say, Lord, I give these all to you. I'm in the garden with you. Jesus, I just plunge into you as you underwent all of this with me, for me, on my behalf, in my place, and for my sake. I just join it all in with you. And I say, thank you, Lord, for loving me so much that you want to make me a new creation. And I just give it all to you. I just give it over to you. God, I've got nothing but you, and to give this to you. I don't even know how to give this to you, and I give that to you. And so I just surrender. I surrender and watch what the Lord will do to reveal miracles and to reveal spiritual attacks that will attempt to doubt your faith, doubt the value or the efficacy, the impact of those kind of acts. You just watch, and then you watch breakthroughs happen. That's the journey of our spiritual life. That's the journey of this pilgrimage of life as we turn to the Lord. All right, I went long, up against a break. When we come back, I want to get to the third meaning, these five different meanings of the Holy Face devotion connected to your life of faith today. Back in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. So today, as you've heard me say, I'm walking. So if you hear that background noise, that's the wind. And I'm actually preparing for my journey. I leave in 2 days. Would you pray for me? I'm asking for your intercession, even as I commit to intercede for you by the act of walking itself. And so that act of being a pilgrim It's so funny. A couple of people say, oh, have a great vacation. Like, do you know what I'm actually going to be doing? That is not a vacation. But be that as it may, it's a different life. It's going to be stripped down, right? Strip my life down. But I'm walking that path, walking that journey, undergoing these difficulties as an act of intercession. And there's the third meaning of the Holy Face Devotion, is the act of intercession, that you come before the Lord and you intercede. And I never really thought about it before. It's so very interesting that the theme of reparation is so central to the Holy Face Devotion. Reparation is repairing the damage caused by sin. And yet reparation, repairing in the scriptures, the act of repairing damage is also the act of interceding. You've heard me share this before, and I'm just kind of stunned that I hadn't really thought about this before, that the intercessor is the one who stands in the gap. The one who stands in the gap, remember the gap is in the wall, and the wall, it's when you're the people of God and in the walled city are under attack, and the enemy comes and starts launching stones at a portion of the wall that appears vulnerable, and as it begins to crumble, there's a gap in the wall. There's a breach in the wall that opens up, and once as it gets more and more open, that's where the enemy is going to come pouring through. That's where the fighting is the fiercest. And when that's happening, the people of God from inside the city need courageous soldiers to go stand in that gap, to stand in the gap, stand in the breach, and to undergo the battle, the fighting, the attacks of the enemy. Okay, so we've already talked about the attacks of the enemy. But the other part of intercession that I hadn't focused on is in Isaiah 58, where Isaiah refers to this members of the people of God, that you will be called repairer of the breach. A repairer, a rebuilder of lost foundations. A restorer of the homeland. So this work of repairing is fundamental to the Holy Face Devotion. That as you undergo these acts of reparation, yeah, they can be for yourself. Right, Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins where I've profaned the Lord's day and I've taken your name in vain and I've practiced my own form of idolatry, not trusting you. Yeah, all that's true. That's petition. That's a petitionary form of acts of reparation. But what about when you're doing that for the sake of others? And that's the theme in this Holy Face Devotion, is do this because others that are not in the church, others that are in the world, are in fact committing these sins, these abominations against the Lord our God, and manifest in a particular way against the holy face of Jesus in his passion, crowned with thorns, spat upon, slapped, mocked. All of those a personalized way of recognizing the sins that the world is committing against Jesus. And so Sister Mary of St. Peter receives this golden arrow prayer, where I'm going to shoot a golden arrow into the heart of the Lord to counteract the arrows of the sins that are mocking and blaspheming the Lord. So that's intercession. It's an intercessory act. I'm praying for them. I'm praying that the Lord transforms them. I'm praying against the sins that they are committing. And I stand in solidarity with them, because I share a common humanity. Lord, you created all of us here. And they don't, Lord, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Right? We can do the work of Veronica as the crowd is, you know, mocking and spitting upon, hitting the face of Jesus. We can do the work of Veronica, repairing that damage. Do you want to help repair the breach? Don't just stand in the breach, but repair it so that it's built back up, so that a hedge of protection, a wall of protection would come to the church. Yes, I want that. That's the Holy Face devotion, but that's also, that can also be you. That can be, whether or not you're part of the Holy Face devotion, that's something that you can be a part of, just you being you. And I just think that's so powerful and beautiful. Don't we want that? And the answer is yes. Lord, I want that. And so intercede. Make part of your prayer intercession, where you're not just praying for yourself and your own needs, but you're praying on behalf of others and their needs. And in particular, not just for those who are friends of yours and loved ones, but for everyone that's around you, maybe even most of all, these poor sinners who are most in need of God's mercy. This theme of intercession runs all the way to the gates of hell. And Sister Mary of St. Peter has that revelation that the Lord is placing her at the connecting point of time and eternity to pray for these poor sinners who are near to death but far from God, that they would not fall into hell. And they'd only fall into hell because of their offenses against God, and yet those are the ones that she's attempting to rescue in an intercessory fashion to repair the damage. So beautiful, so powerful. That's the third meaning of the Holy Face devotion. When we come back, the fourth and fifth meanings. All right, brothers and sisters, this is Tom Curran. Pray for me. I leave on Sunday. 40-day pilgrimage. It's really about the Holy Face devotion, but it's walking the Camino. I am praying for you. Send me your prayer requests. I'm adding more and more to my file of prayer requests. Go to mycatholicfaith.org. Just submit your prayer request there. Call me, email me, however you need to get me the intention. And I'll be praying every day a rosary live on Facebook and YouTube, and also doing the Holy Face devotion and sharing reflections. And you'll be hearing those reflections on this program. So you're still going to get programming from me, not every day of the week, but you're going to get at least one day a week of me offering from the road reflections. And so that's part of how and why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. I'm getting accustomed to this idea of being a mobile studio. So it's a really very interesting thing. Okay. Fourth meaning of the Holy Face devotion. Whether or not you ever get connected to the devotion, you should be connected to this meaning of the life of faith, specifically evangelization, proclaiming the gospel through signs and wonders, through deeds of power and miracles. That is a hallmark of the Holy Face devotion. You've heard me say it how many times if you've been following my own dawning realization of this devotion, is that Leo DuPont was used by God as a vessel of miracles connected to honoring the Holy Face. And 6,000 miracles recorded. So probably how many more not recorded from around the world, people to whom he would send oil that was burning in front of the veil of Veronica that he had in his study, now in oratory. And I'm going to be there on Monday, hope to God, pray for that. Safe, peaceful travels and the Lord's angel over my family guiding me and my family on our journeys. So do we have that expectant faith? Can we have that expectant faith? Yes. Should we have that expectant faith? Yeah. But in accord with our own call, right? In accord with our own mission. But I want to say that there are more people called to have that expectant faith that the Lord moves in the miraculous and the supernatural as a way of grabbing people's attention and saying, that's what God's like, that's what God does, that God actually knows and cares about you in such an intimate, detailed way that he's going to handle that? Wow, I want to pay attention. Tell me more. So signs and wonders have an incredible power to manifest and demonstrate who the Lord is, what his kingdom is about, and open them to hear the message. It's all through the Gospels. It's all through the early church. It's through the lives of the saints. And yes, in a very, very big way, it's part of this devotion to the Holy Face. That's why I'm so excited to have these two replicas of Veronica's veil that touched one of the original replicas that touched Veronica's veil. And so I'm bringing one with me, and I'll see if God can open a door for me to be able to somehow have my replica touch the one in Leo DuPont's oratory. Say a prayer. That'll be quite a story. All right. And so if that's something you're open to, pray for that. Pray that the Lord would make you a conduit of signs and wonders in your own family, in your own circle, in the church today, for his glory, for his kingdom. It's not just the suffering and the undergoing of the passion. It's also proclaiming the resurrection and the new life that comes from knowing Christ. That's important. And you can be part of that. All right, last meaning. The last meaning is what we can call inculturation. And inculturation means that when Christians come, when Catholics in the church get planted into a culture or into a society, we are called to be salt, light, and leaven in the culture. We're called to have an impact. We're called to take root and manifest forth the fullness of our own way of life, the way of living the gospel, but also begin to impact the attitudes and behaviors and policies of the society that we live in. That's inculturation, the cultus, the way of worship, the way of living life. The atmosphere associated with that starts permeating the wider environment. Now, this is kind of a foreign concept to us because this is a concept that was more associated with missionaries going to foreign lands that had not yet heard of the gospel of Jesus. But we're living it in what's called a post-Christian world, where we are a generation away from a time when the church and the gospel were respected, respectable, had a seat at the table, and influenced the wider society. Now we're in a time where there's such a confusing message of the gospel, such a twisted anti-gospel way of proclaiming the gospel, and even sadly of the teaching of the church. And what this Holy Face devotion can do is, in fact, begin to reassert things that we've lost. Like, for instance, I am impressed that a place like Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays. Like a prime day for making money, and yet they are not open. And they're not open because strategically it's a good thing to do, or practically, financially, it's a wise move. No, they're doing it out of their own sense of, we want to honor the Lord's Day. And honoring the Lord's Day means don't work. And that means if you have a business, don't open your business if you don't have to. Right? There are essential workers that do need to work on Sunday. And we thank God for for those people who play those essential roles. But the question is, are we doing things that are helping to promote keeping the Lord's Day holy, or are we part of the problem? And so that's something that I am pondering much more fully because of the Holy Face devotion. I think I have far more guilt and a much higher standard that's applied to my life than people who are not practicing faith do regarding how they live their life on the Lord's Day. And you know what? That is, whether or not you practice the Holy Face devotion, something we need to really ponder and think about, right? And profaning the Lord's Day, that's one thing, right? Okay, so let's up our game, and I'll talk more about that in other programs. How do we up our game regarding how we live Sundays in a way that honors God? How do we push back against those activities and things that we're involved in that involve Sunday Sunday as work, or how do we do the same regarding the taking the Lord's name in vain? Do we ever push back against that? What do we do? Do we ever take the Lord's name in ourselves, or do we let it in our home? Right? You heard me reflect on that. That's enculturation. Enculturation is letting the atmosphere of faith and the fullness of faith permeate the workplace that we're involved in, permeate the neighborhood that we're living in, permeate the way that we're involved politically, right? All of those things are so very important. And I hope and pray that these five different meanings of the Holy Face Devotion can have an impact on your life. All right, I'm up against the end of my program. God bless your day.